Beyond the Sermon, episode 24. Yeah. Who's Jack Bauer for this? Because we're doing 24 episode.
That would be you, man.
I'm Jack Bauer?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, so you don't want me to be Jack Bauer.
By the end of this episode, both of us will probably be dead.
Yes. That's exactly right. And I'll have been shot 34 times and still be able to drive. So it should be really, really good.
Spoiler alert, I mean, I've never seen it, so I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Just imagine many multiple ways that you should have died, but don't, and still become the hero.
And you last seven seasons or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're the surprise twist
nice.
To the whole show, to where you were the one that was actually the mole.
Is this like an I See Dead People kind of moment? I mean,
not really. You were the traitor in the group?
Yeah, but... The president has your personal cell phone number.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah.
Come on. Good. So, anyway, we are here with Beyond the Sermon episode 24, and we are looking forward to a great time together. Hope you had a great Monday so far, and we are ready to launch in this week to what you guys crave after listening to the sermon.
Ah, yeah.
Beyond the sermon.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit more.
That's you didn't get
sermon.
Quite enough.
That's
so.
Right.
I had somebody say to me Sunday after the service, they said, "Wow, man, you preached short today." And I didn't know if that meant like I'm short and I preach, you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
A short joke, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think that's what they meant.
Those.
Yeah, time. I think they meant short in time, and yet we went back and looked, and it was pretty normal. So,
yeah.
Maybe you preach long for a while.
I wonder, you know, I wonder if they show up to church late this Sunday, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We thinking that?
That could be it.
Maybe they were just
very well
engaged
that's
in
right.
the message. It just went by.
It
so
seemed
quickly.
Like 10 minutes. Yeah.
That could have been.
That's right.
Man. I don't know. We'll find out. I can always. I mean, I typically cut the loaf in half.
That's right.
You know, and don't give you all of it at the same time. That's what we do Beyond the Sermon.
You gotta save some for Beyond the Sermon.
That's exactly
that's
right. So glad we were able to get back together. And it is Michael Kennedy. It is. I am
the bell.
I guess it's not. It is.
It is.
I am. There we go. So Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting with Scotty the Body Curlin. Hey, bud.
You
just were looking down, and it
was.
May be...
Make sure I have my notes ready.
Yeah, it may be time, though, to...
You think I should just go with a buzz, maybe?
I'd go with the buzz cut, man.
Pretty much every haircut, I reevaluate, and I'm just ready to shave it.
Trying to determine what to do.
All
yeah.
the way.
I got you.
Yeah.
You think shave it all the way?
All
Bick
way.
It?
Yeah.
Is that what we're thinking? Ooh.
That's right.
I'm thinking no hair up here, and maybe, like, huge beard, you know?
Ooh,
yeah.
I like that.
You'd be awesome.
Megan
be
would not like it.
Not going to happen for her,
she
right?
She would not like
so.
It.
Scott, good to see you, bud.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Also here is Adam Reed.
Running machine.
What's up, bud?
How's it going?
We're good, man. We are sitting not in podcast heaven today, which is where we typically come to you from, but we are once again in the Holy of Holies.
Beyond the curtain.
Beyond the curtain.
I think we need to change the name. It's too good, you know?
Yeah, I just saw the AC guy, I believe, come down the driveway, so we're hoping we're going to get some AC back in podcast heaven, and we'll be able to go. What else do we call it? I forgot.
The Bat Cave
at North River. Yeah,
Garage Band.
That's it.
Something else. The Shed, yeah.
That's right.
Outback.
That'd be good. So, anyway, we will dive into what we talked about on Sunday, which was wisdom. We titled the message, Got Wisdom? Question mark.
I thought you were going to preach like a milk mustache or
I
something.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
It does a body good.
It does. Wisdom does do a body good. So, we talked about the difference between, and James compares and contrasts the difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And I figured that maybe we just walk back through the outline briefly, that way in case someone just wanted to have a refresher. You know, some people amen the sermons out loud.
That's right, that's right.
Some people amen by taking notes.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, that's okay too. So if you amen by taking notes, maybe you didn't get the full picture of what you should have gotten. We said that worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, and it's demonstrated by bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and every vile practice. Whereas heavenly wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and it's demonstrated by a harvest of righteousness. All right, so guys, anything that stuck out to you from the passage or the message or just your personal time with the Lord afterwards?
You know, I thought the message really it was a great reminder as to what we're talking about in James as a whole. Just that, like you stated yesterday, it's about a faith that works and not just head knowledge.
Yeah.
I like how you kind of compared and contrasted this idea of, you know, what the world sees as valuable and what the world sees as a priority with truly what God sees as valuable and is obviously what is should be our priority. You know, one great thing that stuck out to me, I think, was speaking of selfish ambition. You know, the disciples sitting there arguing about who's the greatest, who's the best, literally right there beside Jesus, right? Yeah. And I think in that we see such a clear picture of the kind of worldly wisdom that we have to really guard against, to not be inward focused, to not be mindful of ourselves first and foremost, but to be mindful certainly of Christ, but also of the mission that he's given to us to reach other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, anything that stuck out to you? Did you listen to the message?
I did, double time.
Double time. There we go.
So that's you good. Preached really short.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I mean, it was like 15 minutes.
Which is perfect, right? Absolutely. That's good.
No, yeah, just as I was thinking about this and listening, and I was just reminded, I guess, of just kind of with the worldly wisdom, you know, that says put you first, you know, through the whole thing, and look out for number one, making sure that you are always kind of putting yourself ahead of others. I mean, that's kind of the way the world approaches that, and, you know, and especially looking at this as it looks at what wisdom from God brings to us. It brings to us the idea of humility and thinking of others first, just as Scott had said or just a moment ago, just kind of really that practical side of what James is trying to get across to his reader is this idea of how we as followers of Jesus are to live our lives. And while, and I think maybe even you have mentioned this before, you know, the world says, you know, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about us realizing that the things that we have really are from God, and they're temporary, which is something that James gets to in a couple more weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And then just this idea of then we are allowed to serve others out of the goodness that God has given to us, and being wise in the time that we have in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I had some good questions from people on the back end of the message, and so I wanted to try to dive in. This is hopefully what people tune in to Beyond the Sermon for, go a little more in depth to what we talked about on Sunday. So one of the challenges of preaching is that you can't say everything you want to say, or maybe even everything that you've written down or read or things like that. And, you know, I think it's helpful for us to be able to try to put feet on what we're talking about a little bit. And so I thought it would be helpful for us to think through maybe a couple of questions that people may be asking about earthly wisdom or worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. One, I think that's important for us to think about and to begin with, and I think it may set the course for our conversation from now on out today. But it's the question of where do we begin? Mm-hmm. We want to talk about gaining wisdom that's from above. How do we start that? And, you know, it's interesting. There's things that when you're preaching, like, that run through my mind. I don't know if you guys, if you're speaking, if you experience this or not, but like there's verses that I've memorized in the past that kind of run through my head as I'm preaching. And there's moments where sometimes I'll use them and there's moments where sometimes I won't use them at all. But one that ran through my head, I didn't reference yesterday, was Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. And we talk about where do we begin in this quest or this desire for wisdom and for heavenly wisdom. And this is what is written in Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So if we want to talk about where do we begin, how do we start that journey of gaining wisdom, and how do we walk through that process? If we look back, James says in James 1, 5, says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach." And so started thinking through that even this morning as I was reflecting back on the message from yesterday. And I thought, you know, the beginning point is a true recognition and understanding of who God is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he promises that he will do, and humbly submitting ourselves before him. That's the beginning of wisdom. When we talk about fear, you know, I think for all of us, there's things that we're afraid of. And yet fear in that sense is not what it's talking about. Like you're afraid of a snake or something like that, which we're just not that kind of church, right, guys?
That's right.
We don't play with snakes.
That's right.
I'm a little bit scared of snakes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified of snakes. I'm not going to lie. So outside of the musical snakes that we use on Sunday mornings
to
hook up our equipment,
That's right.
We ain't playing with snakes in North River Church. So, but it's not that type of fear of like being scared of something. But it is truly a healthy respect and understanding of who God is. And that's where it begins. We talk about gaining wisdom. It begins, recognizing who God is and submitting ourselves to him, which when we look at that is beginning that relationship with him through his son Jesus. And so I think for us, if we're going to talk about where do we begin, well, we begin at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
That's where wisdom comes from. That's where wisdom is cultivated. And it's further grown in our walk with Jesus. And so just like a tetherball, do you remember playing game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pole in wisdom is Jesus. And we're just constantly working our way around him. And the closer that we get to him, the tighter we are clinging to him, the more we're going to gain wisdom. And we said wisdom is not just head knowledge of, you know, I know a lot more things now than I used to or anything like that. But it's actually the knowledge that we do have. How do we apply that? How do we leverage that for God's purposes and God's mission? And so when I thought about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. And then I think about James having written and said that if we lack wisdom, we simply need to ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. I started thinking about that, and it crossed my mind. What we're after is not necessarily wisdom as much as it is God himself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting when James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously. We gain wisdom by getting more of God.
That's right.
And our desire should be more of him. Mm-hmm. And as we grow closer to him, he reveals more of himself to us. As we spend more time in his word, we see a clearer picture of who he is and what he's done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And so I think, you know, oftentimes it's been said that as we look, we have to ask the serious question for ourselves, do we want God for what we can get from him,
mm-hmm.
or do we want God for who he is?
That's right.
And I think as we recognize that the more we want a relationship with God that's growing, the more wisdom we gain through that process. And so I think it's helpful for us as we think about it. Now, we think that that's where the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, a relationship with Him, and a growing relationship with Him is how we gain even more wisdom. I think it's we need to emphasize how we apply that. And so as we look at things in God's Word that we come across, interestingly enough, though it may not speak to every particular issue, iPhones are not in the Bible. I didn't know if you guys knew that or not.
iPhone
10 is not in there. at least I don't think it is. I don't know. Maybe it is. The 8's probably in there if I had to guess.
I think you're right.
So, did we mention last week about the iPhone 10 and Cracker Barrel?
Was that on? I can't remember if that was on the podcast or if that was before the podcast.
I'm not sure which one it was. So if it wasn't on the podcast and you have no clue what we're talking about, the new iPhone 10 when it comes out in October is going to be $999.99. I think that's right. And everything on the menu at Cracker Barrel is $874.69 or something like that.
That's
and,
amazing.
So how would you prefer to spend your money? That's new incredible. iPhone 10? Or everything.
Everything on the Cracker Barrel.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food, man.
anyway, back to where were we going with that?
Something about Steve Jobs being in the Bible. I can't remember what you said.
That's good. No, basically, Steve Jobs.
See what I did there? Come on.
I like it.
That was a little bit too much of a stretch.
That was good. Almost went right over my head.
Yeah.
So. No, but you know, everything that we encounter day in and day out is not in the Bible, but there is so much that's pertinent to our life and how we live our life that's informed by what God's Word tells us. And so, for instance, let's take the issue of money. That's always a fun one to talk about at church, right? Everybody gets jazzed up when the pastor talks about money. So, but let's talk about that for instance. So, worldly wisdom would say, somewhat similar to what Adam said earlier about money, the goal in life is he who dies with the most toys wins, right? I mean, that's kind of what's been painted in our culture. So we do everything that we can. We go get an education so that we can make more money. We move up the corporate ladder so that we can make more money. And the more money we have, the more money we get to spend, the better vacations we get to go on, all those things. And so money is an end in itself so that we can experience happiness and get basically what we want. So that's what the world says about money. That's worldly wisdom there. And even if you take it and there's times when the world will look and say, man, there's this principle, which is often a biblical principle. We'll take it, but yet we twist it a little bit. Satan does that oftentimes. And so God in his word talks about the issue of investing, of saving for later and things like that. Well, people talk about that as well. We think about retirement. But the worldly wisdom says save enough money and invest it in such a way so that when you retire, you can just not have to do anything. And yet we look at it and God's calling on our lives as believers to serve Him. There's no retirement date on that.
That's right.
Except when we go to heaven, that's when that ends. And so the world looks at money in that way. And yet we see heavenly wisdom come to play when we recognize that God says He owns everything that we have.
That's right.
Every dollar we have, everything we own, ultimately is God's, and He simply entrusted it to us to be managed, to be stewarded for His glory and for His purposes on the earth. And so when we look at worldly wisdom says grab all you can all you grab and sit on your can, heavenly wisdom says God has given you everything that you have, and you should live instead of putting it in a can with an open hand. So that not only do you give, and certainly giving should play the part in the Christian life, talk about the principle of tithing and those things that Scripture emphasizes, but not only that, just living in open-handed generosity, willing to help people, willing to serve people in that way, so that you give and yet you receive the blessing for having given, not you hold on to everything that you have so that you can get a blessing later because of what your money will provide for you. those are two totally different perspectives on the simple issue of money. Right. And so as we look at God's word, there are things that we encounter that talk about wisdom from the world's perspective. You know, for instance, marriage versus God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom on those same issues. And so the more we're tethered to God and his word, the greater chance we're going to have to know his heartbeat and his desires and be able to live out of obedience to him, which is what true wisdom is all about. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that and to be able to ask those questions. How does God's word inform what I'm about to do? Mm-hmm. As we come to decisions that we need to make, how does God's word inform these decisions? You know, when I get a raise at work, do I increase my lifestyle or do I increase my standard of giving? Mm-hmm. You know, those are the questions that worldly wisdom would say one thing and heavenly wisdom would say something totally different. And for us as believers, and what James is emphasizing here, is that ultimately, at the end of the day, worldly wisdom leads to destruction. Mm-hmm. Heavenly wisdom leads to righteousness.
That's right.
And so the question that we have to ask is, which of those do we want? What's the end goal? And certainly for us as believers, the hope would be that our end goal is righteousness, is Christ-likeness. Any thoughts you guys have on any of that we just talked about?
Go ahead, buddy. I was just going to say, just kind of echoing as you talked about money, I started thinking about it as a parent.
Yeah.
And you know, the greatest, I think, investment that we have been given as a husband and wife, or as a parent, is to be a parent to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's right.
You know, I think worldly wisdom would say, you know, raise your kids in such a way that they are successful and get a job, they get a family, they live close to you, and all this sort of stuff. But the reality is, you know, my prayer for my kids is just that they will grow up to be a young man or young woman that love God with all their heart.
Yeah.
And if that means that they grow up and they get a job or a career that's going to pull them away to a different area than close to me, then if they're following God, if they're serving him, if they're being used by him, you know, I think there's nothing greater than that, you know.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to parent our kids and want to see them kind of develop into the guy or girl that we want for them, God has a greater plan, I think, for them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, our goal is to just you know, try to nurture them in that way and pushing their hearts towards God.
Yeah.
So that they will, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, in Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That they'll have that respect, they'll have that desire to want to follow God. And you know, again, I'm just reminded of, and I know you guys are as well, but just reminded of how quickly that time goes by.
Yeah,
and how it really is just a short investment that we have with our kids. And you know, we definitely need to make the most out of that time that we have with our kids so that they are walking with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're out of our house.
Yeah,
and no longer a part of the day-to-day of our family.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. You look at the world's wisdom and how to raise kids and, you know, what to do.
Put them in a bubble, man.
Yeah.
kind of want to, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it really is very much different for us as believers should be in the way that we seek to raise our kids. And, you know, we're reminded of, you know, the greatest thing that could be true about our child is that they're following the Lord.
That's right.
Regardless of what kind of grades they make, regardless of where they go to college, or if they go to college, or what kind of job they have, or how much money they make, or any of those things.
If they turn out to be a Florida fan or a,
I mean,
Tennessee,
you know,
fan.
I, yeah.
oh,
We'll entrust that the Lord will keep them away from such dangers. So that's good. Scott, anything that that you thought on that?
You know, one thing that.
But I love the way you kind of toss that in.
Do you like that? That's good. Yeah. Do you like that? I'm putting that on a tee for you.
That's good.
You know, one thing that that I think kind of hit me, you know, in this idea of asking the Lord for wisdom and seeking wisdom. I think one thing I'm very guilty of is really only seeking wisdom or only asking for wisdom when I feel like I need it. Hmm. You know, those big decisions in life, you think back through, you know, where to go to college, how to do seminary, ministry opportunities, dating and marriage and kids and all of that. I can remember, literally remember exactly where I was, you know, when I prayed certain prayers and when I was seeking God for wisdom and trying to make big decisions. And yet I don't seek wisdom with the same focus on a daily basis. And you said it yesterday, you know, kind of towards the end, you said the issue is very simple. You know, I need Jesus. We need Jesus. And to live and to grow in Christ's likeness and in his righteousness is something that I need to do every day to seek, you know, that heavenly, godly wisdom that only comes from above. So I think that's something that really hit me. It's just that's something that I've got to do every day, not only when I feel like I need it.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Well, good deal, guys. I don't have anything else unless y'all do. We will close out this episode of Beyond the Sermon from the Holy of Holies.
Beyond the curtain.
There we go. And we will catch you back next week. Sound good?
And the flippity flop.
Adios.